And welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. Hope everybody is doing well. Joe Rex Road, now that I have my equipment set in here, how are you doing?
I'm fine. The both ears working there?
Both ears work.
Okay.
Went through two of them.
Yeah. So who's messing with our stuff again?
I blame Penalty Box Radio. Alex Doherty, Sean Smith, I'm blaming you. You're the last people I know of that were in here.
Wednesday night.
Yep.
You got to watch those guys.
Those two. That's who I'm blaming.
And I think Sean sits here, so I think it's Alex.
So Alex Doherty.
I think
that's who I'm blaming.
I think it's Alex. So we're going to have to get after Alex.
We will. We got a lot to get to on the program today. Dan Hynote, Preds assistant coach, will join us at 6:15. We'll look ahead to the Preds and the New York Rangers coming up tonight at Madison Square Garden. Wes Rucker, Go Vols 24/7, joining us at 7 o'clock. And our weekly visit with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports from 8 to 8:30. So looking forward to that. Nick Keyser, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. I feel rested after a night of shopping. I don't like shopping very much, but here we are. I am a lot warmer and more confident, I guess, as Kristen put it. So
there more you confident.
Go.
That's good.
There you go.
Okay.
It's good to be.
Okay. So you went shopping for clothing.
Yes.
Okay. Is that like your new flannel there that you're wearing?
One of them, maybe. Maybe.
And so and she detected some extra confidence from you, huh?
That's good.
Maybe so.
Okay.
That's good.
That's good shopping, I say.
I do too.
9 out of 10.
That's good.
Nice.
So I'm flipping around. I guess flipping is probably not the right word. Scrolling around through Twitter yesterday, Joe, and I come across this clip from Marlon Humphrey, who, of course, plays for the Baltimore Ravens, on the Punchline podcast, or I guess it's Punchline with Marlon Humphrey is the proper terminology of the podcast. And he brings up several things during this interview, but one of the things that he brings up is apparently a post-game altercation of sorts between Jeffrey Simmons and Odell Beckham Jr. We've talked about the play on the field that we all saw between Odell Beckham Jr. and Jeffrey Simmons, where Simmons dives into the pile. Odell Beckham comes up and basically gives him a knee, and then Jeffrey Simmons knocks him over, gets the 15-yard penalty, and the Ravens get a first down out of it. Apparently there was more to it after the game. Here's what Marlon Humphrey had to say yesterday on that Punchline podcast.
Bro, did you see the post game? Did that get – I don't think that got out.
I don't think – what happened?
Dude, I'm sitting there after the game. A jersey swapped with a dude. So, like, it took me a while. So, I'm, like, taking my jersey off, and, like, I saw Jeffrey Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
And he's looking like this. Helmet on.
Helmet on.
Helmet on. I'm like, oh, he must got, like, family on our team or something. He's still just looking. So, like, I'm over here trying to take the jersey on my path. And then I walk up to him. Like, I'm thinking, like, oh, he wants to show me love. Like, he respects my game. So, yeah, bro. And, like, he wasn't. Like, I really just went up to him. He wasn't waiting on me either. So I'm like, okay, whatever. Like, go holler at somebody. And then as my back's turned to him, our guy goes, Rodney. Starts yelling. Rodney's our security's name. And I'm like, anytime you start yelling security, like, Rodney, like, freaking out. I turn around. Odell and Jeffrey are, like, fighting.
No way.
Bro, I'm pretty sure Odell's grabbing his face mask, like, they had to get separated and everything. I don't know how this has not hit, like,
that's
the media.
That's crazy.
Dude, he wanted the fade from getting that P.I., that Odell. He wanted the fade from that.
So that was Marlon Humphrey yesterday discussing apparently somewhat of a post-game altercation between Odell Beckham Jr. and Jeffrey Simmons. What do you think of all that?
Well, it sounds like Rodney's pretty good, their security
guy.
Look, if there was any fight of any duration between those two, I don't think it would go well for Odell Beckham at all. He was asked, by the way, so I'll go to Jeff Zrebeck, who is a friend of the show, covers the Ravens for us at The Athletic, and he talked about this. One thing he said was, quote, "This is not MMA. We're football players." Also, he said, this is what he said about the play that set the whole thing off, quote, from this is Odell Beckham, quote, "He's chasing down a play. He's tired. I watched him look at the play and then look at Zay's legs and try and dive on them. I just didn't like that. I'm going to protect him. This is my guy. This is my little bro. I love him to death. That leads me to trouble. It is what it is. I just don't like that." So,
So what did you think of the of the play that got all this going with Jeffrey Simmons diving into that pile?
So the first time I saw it, I was like, that is ugly. And I still think he should be fined. He should be fined for it. Okay. And I saw, for example, one tweet I saw was Junie Riddle, which says Jeffrey Simmons clearly goes for Zay Flowers' knees. I will say this. The side view, it definitely looks it's a dangerous, but you know who actually takes the brunt of the hit is Trey Avery. If you go look at the end zone view, the only contact he makes with Zay Flowers is his arms. His helmet and shoulder pad go to the left of Avery and hit Avery's legs.
Which I'm sure Trey Avery really appreciated.
Yeah, yes. I mean, it's still like going that hard, that low, I think. But the side view looks way worse. I would advise anybody to look at the end zone view because he actually does try to get to the side, and he's wrapping Zay's legs with his hands. So the end zone view is much more forgiving of Jeffrey Simmons in the side view. Again, that said, I think any shooting that low, and no matter how it plays out, I think they're trying to get rid of that, and I expect him to get fined, and he should get fined. It's just, it's still, yeah. I mean, Trey Avery is like should be going to him right now.
Like, what
are
you doing?
What are you like? Because he went to the left with his helmet and his shoulder pads, but still made quite a bit of contact with Avery's legs, like.
Well, the thing is, like, the play was pretty much over, too. It was a late hit from Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah, it was late, not necessary, and low. So, but then, again, Beckham gets in there, does what he does, and then Simmons loses it and then goes and tries to find poor little Odell Beckham after the game.
Apparently
jeez,
so.
Man. Yeah, it's just – I mean, Simmons plays on the edge, and you know what? That helps some people be very good players, but he also – Ravens fans, of course, who was it? Was it Yanda who said that he spit in his face?
Yeah.
And there's been a few different things over the years of guys talking about Jeffrey Simmons.
I mean, he kind of sounds a little dirty.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I think he gets grimy out there sometimes, and yeah, it's not like spitting in someone's face, stuff like that. Like, this isn't like – invented by him, you know, but he plays on the edge. And the thing is, something like that, and as this stuff builds up, I mean, I remember, not as a Lions fan, but as someone who had to watch a lot of their games. I mean, Ndamukong Suh eventually, it didn't matter what he did. And he played dirty. I mean, he would do dirty things. But then there were times when he didn't, and it didn't matter. You get popped for it anyway. You
know? Yeah.
And that's what happens. You get a reputation, and you start getting flagged or fined or whatever for stuff, even if it isn't bad. I don't think this is as bad as some people think, but it's not going to help him.
Well, and he doesn't have a Sue reputation by any means. Like, that was – Sue built up quite a reputation for himself over the course of several years.
He was out there trying to kill quarterbacks.
He was. Yeah. So it was – it's a little bit different than that. I mean, I don't know. Do you feel like – I mean, obviously Jeffrey Simmons is a great player, and you love the aggression, all those things. Do you feel like maybe he needs to dial it back just a hair when he's out there on the field?
Yeah, well, especially if it's going to cost your team. That was costly.
Yeah.
I mean, that penalty, you always know, one, that if you're retaliating, you're the one who gets popped. And two, if you're doing it with a receiver,
right.
I mean, come on. First of all, it's a lot more plausible that although Beckham sold it, that you would knock him down like that. So you just make it easy, right? So yeah, I mean, you gotta be smarter. This like the margin, like this team in particular, margin for error very, very small. And yeah, you know, with Simmons, I mean, it's every year it's kind of funny. Like, oh man, Jeff Simmons got in a fight with whoever. Jeff Simmons got in a fight in the joint practices.
Yeah.
Look, I'm sure that it fuels how he plays. He's a tremendously physical, violent player out there, and that's what you want. But, yeah, I think you got to work on that a little bit. When he starts costing your team, and then, again, when you start building reputation, then it's going to get worse.
Yeah, I mean, look, I love the aggression. I do. And it's part of what makes him really good. But the flags – have got to stop. And look, I did think there's no reason for him diving in that pile as late as he did on that play.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
It's one of those things where I do expect he'll probably get fined here. I need to go see the end zone view. You told me about it this morning. It's good to know that it doesn't look as bad as it looks from the side view, because the side view looks pretty darn bad.
It does. Yeah, I'll find it. I'll find it for you. But yeah, it's worth people who I mean, it's worth looking at because it does. He puts his stuff to the side, but yeah, it's still dumb. And like, what are you doing trying to find him after the game? You got a few minutes left in London. Get some fish and chips. Get on the plane.
I did enjoy Marlon Humphrey's storytelling of how it went down. It was very dramatic.
Yeah,
and,
it was.
It worked out well.
That was good. That was good. That was a good podcast segment.
I'm getting the mental image in my head of Jeffrey Simmons with his helmet on, just staring at Odell Beckham, waiting for the opportunity to strike, like just a lion crouching, trying to attack its prey. It's good stuff.
My gosh. I nominate Kaharski to ask him about this next week.
Jeff, why not? Let's go ask him about it. Yeah, I'm sure I would love to see like Marlon Humphrey's face too. Like, is he going up to like try to, I guess, shake his hand? What does Jeffrey Simmons do? Like, just push him aside, blow him off? Like, it's pretty good. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. We are off and running today on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts all show long on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Predators assistant coach Dan Hynote. We'll look ahead to the Predators and the New York Rangers coming up tonight from Madison Square Garden. That is next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Thursday morning. The Preds back in action tonight. On the road, taking on the New York Rangers at Madison Square Garden. Pregame at 5 o'clock, putt drop at 6 o'clock here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Predators assistant coach Dan Hynote. Dan, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're awesome. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Dan, overall, you know, obviously there's a process that's ongoing with your team of learning a new system and implementing all those things that you guys are asking them to do. Overall, what do you make of the first four games and where your team is at in that process?
I think we're right on track. I think, you know, when you look at the bright spots, our 5-on-5 game has been really good in the sense of like going toe-to-toe with Tampa and going toe-to-toe with Boston 5-on-5. Yeah, and obviously, you know, we had a good outcome against Seattle. And these are all upper echelon teams. So, you know, from a systematic standpoint, yeah, we're a little bit behind these other teams that we've been playing because the teams we've been playing have been together for a really long time. And so, you know, they don't question the system. They don't have to think out there. So a little bit quicker than we are right this second. But when we're on, you can see flashes of what we're going to be. And I'm very optimistic.
So I'm sure there's not like a number you can put on that, Dan, but I don't know. Do you look at it that way in terms of, okay, we're 70% there now or whatever it is in terms of how you guys want to see, you know, the system implemented, how fast you want the guys out there, and then by whenever we're at 80? I mean, do you guys look at it in any way like mathematically, or is it just sort of – you just sort of let it grow?
Well, I don't know if there's a way to put a number to it. I think if you're at 20 games, you should have kind of figured out everything. You know, I think the 20 game mark is a really good number for each team to feel comfortable in whatever their process is. So, you know, our process isn't just implementing new systems. You got to keep that in mind. We're also in the storming phase of our new regime, right? Like you can't bring in the kind of leadership we brought in and everything just fit perfectly into the puzzle, right? Like, people have to figure out where they fit in with the new puzzle. And we added some big pieces to this puzzle. So, you know, there's always that. Where do I fit in now that we've added X, Y, and Z? And if you're X, Y, and Z, it's where do I fit in this whole new puzzle? So that takes some time, too, you know. And so we're figuring out the locker room. We're figuring out the systematic play. We're figuring out a new GM. We're figuring out a new coach. Like, we're only four games in. It feels like we're already at that 20-game mark because we have all these things going on. But that's why I'm so optimistic, because when you do see us playing at full speed without thinking and reacting, we're a really good team. So, you know, once we get all of these things in place, I'm really excited with this young crew and this new leadership that we've added.
So, Dan, obviously a coaching change heading into this year. You are very familiar with Andrew Burnett, the player, during your time in Colorado. What have been your impressions of Andrew Burnett, the coach, to this point?
You know what? It's funny when you play with a guy and you have certain expectations of what you remember as a teammate. And he is all of those things and so much more as a coach. So it's really cool to see the evolution that he's taken since him and I played together, you know, because he's had some great experiences, you know, under great coaches, under great GMs. He's been a GM himself for a while, you know, so he understands that side of it, which, you know, is very unique to our coaching staff, because we have a GM that was once a coach, and we have a coach that was once a GM. So that's pretty cool, because you get a lot of insight into each facet, but also there's very little, we're very well connected with our management group, because, you know, Barry's coach. So he gets our process and he gets what we're looking at. And that's a huge advantage for us. So for me, watching him grow as a human and as a coach now, and, you know, as a former teammate, it's really impressive. And I love just watching back, and his brain doesn't work like everyone else's. So it's kind of, you know, when he talks, you have to listen, because something cool is going to come out, something you haven't thought of. Because, like I said, he thinks the game differently than a lot of players of my ilk, right? So I can't even fathom what goes through his head. So I have to listen. I have to write things down. I have to pay attention, because every time he talks, something cool is going to come out that you can learn from. So it's really cool to watch, you know, a guy that I've considered a friend for a really long time evolved into what he's grown into, which is a very successful coach.
Okay, I want to lean in on that, Dan. So his brain doesn't work like everybody else's. So can you give us an example maybe of something that where, you know, he said something that you're like, oh, okay, like you look at something differently?
Yeah, well, you know, for instance, we were talking shop last night, and we were just talking about player X, you know, on whatever team. And you know, I have certain values that I value as a coach, and you know, in players. And this the player we were talking about didn't necessarily have those characteristics that I personally prefer in a player, but he started talking about how few players in the league are able to see the play and make the play, and how, you know, the players that I was talking about, there's a lot of those players in the NHL, you know, and you can go and you can find them. They're very valuable, but they're out there, versus the player that actually sees the play and makes the play. You know, those are few and far between. So when you're weighing and measuring, you know, player X versus player Y, player Y makes plays, that makes him a little rarer, you know, and harder to find, and therefore more valuable to a team than, you know, player X. So that was a cool thought process that I had never even mentioned, had never even thought of, right? Like how valuable that is, that little aspect of being able to see the play and then make the play. So that's the biggest difference between the guys in the AHL and the guys in the NHL. And, you know, so it was really cool epiphany on my part to give, you know, that type of player a lot more credit than I have given them in the past.
Yeah, that's really, really interesting. Dan Hynote with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Dan, from your vantage point, what sort of a tone or, I guess, a culture piece has Ryan O'Reilly been adding? We know what he can do on the ice, but, you know, beyond that, in the room, how valuable has his leadership been to this point from your vantage point?
Yeah, I think he's had a huge impact, you know, and we've already had, that's the great part is we had good leadership in already here. And then you add someone like him, someone like Chen, someone like Nyquist, where, you know, they have that, the credibility of having played, but also, you know, having won, that goes a long way. And then you just watch the habits, right? Never mind his positive demeanor, his easygoing, you know, conversation, never mind all that. What about the fact that he's always the first one out there and always the last one off? You know, like, how far does that go for your young guys? And how far does that go for your veterans? You know, to see that kind of work ethic and you know, he kind of drags guys into that realm, into that fight of getting better, growing every day, because he's doing it, so maybe I should too. And, you know, that when you're looking for a mentor for your young guys and be like, hey, this is watch this guy. You know, he plays the game the right way, both on and off the ice. So he's a good guy for us to point to.
Speaking of the young guys, Dan, what are you seeing from the, I think Andrew actually called it the kids line. We need to come up with a more creative name, the kids line. But you know the line I'm talking about. Tomasino, Evangeliste, Novak. What are you seeing from those guys right now?
Well, they've kind of gone how the team has gone, you know, where it's you see flashes of what they can provide, you know. And it's not – we haven't played, not that there is anyone, you know, easy to play against in the NHL, but the teams we've played against have been upper echelon teams. So, you know, for them to cut their teeth early this season against that kind of talent is great for them, because you can – there's lots to learn. And, you know, implementing a new system, new coach, new vernacular, you name it, on top of that, you know, you got to give them a little bit of credit for the success they have had. So, just like I said, it comes and goes, you know, as they're learning the system and as they're learning the league. But you do see some really good flashes of what's going to be coming down the road from those three.
Well, Dan, we're looking forward to the game tonight in New York. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and good luck. We'll talk to you soon.
As always, it's my pleasure. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
You as well. Dan Hynote, Predators assistant coach, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. I know a lot of people, you hear like a coach talk about first one on, last one off, and you like roll your eyes. As somebody who has tried to talk with Ryan O'Reilly on multiple occasions and has had to sit there and wait for him to get off the ice, I can tell you, he's the last one off. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
The guy stays out there.
Yeah. Talking with like Trotz last week in the stands, and he's watching and he's like, see, look, they're actually trying to get him off the ice. They're trying to convince him to leave
right,
the ice.
Exactly.
Like, wow, that's
it's
dedication,
a little different. Yeah. And I'm like, I asked him, I was like, you do this every time? It's just what I do, man. I'm like, well, I see why they're bringing you in.
Yeah. Yep.
It's good stuff. Appreciate Dan Hynote for taking time to join us. Preds in action tonight in New York. Like I said, pregame 5 o'clock, puck drop 6 o'clock here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We'll take your thoughts on that interview with Dan Hynote. There's also something, Joe, that Kuharsky brought up with us yesterday that I want to get your thoughts on as well. We'll do all that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, helping home buyers and sellers in Middle Tennessee for 20 years. We are live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Got some tickets to give away to see the Nashville Predators take on the San Jose Sharks coming up this Saturday at Bridgestone Arena. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025, caller number 5. We'll win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the San Jose Sharks this Saturday at Bridgestone Arena. Preds in action tonight. Thanks to Dan Hynote for being with us in the last segment. There was a conversation yesterday, Joe, that we had with Kuharsky in the last hour that I want to get your thoughts on, because we had some people texting in the middle of it, maybe disagreeing with it a little bit. And in some ways, I can see their point. In other ways, I'm kind of with Kuharsky. But you know, Kuharsky's point basically when we were discussing the trade deadline in the NFL was the Titans players don't really have the value that fans seem to think that they have. And we went through the Derrick Henry example where I guess it was a Bleacher Report where he found where it was like Devin Duvernay, a second-round pick and something else for Derrick Henry. I mean, I think we can all agree that that's pretty absurd when it comes to the price for Derrick Henry. But a guy like Autry, or a guy like Hopkins, do you think the Titans could get significant trade value out of those guys? And I guess by significant, I mean, are there players that they have where they could get a third-round pick or better in return for their services at the trade deadline?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. Hold on. I need to pause here and enjoy the Astros beating the Rangers while Creed sits in the stands. Suck it, Creed!
They're in attendance. Did not go well for
go
the Rangers
away,
last night.
Go on your stupid cruise ship and leave everybody alone. The Rangers shall never win another game.
All right. Oh, boy.
Thank you. So this is interesting. I'm mostly with Kuharsky, but I noticed that, and give Zach, Football and Other F-Words, credit for finding this. I don't know that I – do I follow Brad Spiel? Yeah, I do. Brad Spielberger, okay? He's a salary cap analyst. Oh, my gosh, a salary cap analyst at Pro Football Focus. Also contributor to OverTheCap.com. Oh, my gosh, cap.
A lot of cap.
Yeah, a lot of cap. And he's a Vandy alum, too, Brad Spielberger. So, all right. So, anyway, and he's a Tulane Law alum. This dude is smart. He's a Tulane Law alum, a Vandy alum, okay? And so he has he put together trades, basically trades we'd like to see and the projected value, okay? So he's got Byard to the Eagles for a third.
Okay.
He's got Hopkins to the Chiefs for a third. And he's got Fulton to the Steelers for a fifth. So I think I have not seen, I mean, other than Big Joe, I have not seen anybody out there who thinks Derrick Henry is bringing a haul back. Again, when you think about trades, I do think that sometimes, like people on the text line sometimes, like, think about age and also contract.
Correct. And position.
Well, that too. But, I mean, like, those things are, you know, those things are critical in the discussion.
Sure.
Now, that's where I look at a buyer, you know, I don't know. I really don't know, like, is there a team that desperately needs that, you know, needs a safety and that's, like, the final piece of the defense or whatever? Are the Eagles that team? I don't know. That seems a little high to me. Hopkins, I think the Hopkins, I don't remember what Kaharsky said about him. Did he just say, like, oh, none of them will get anything? Ah, bag of bulls.
I think he was a little bit more willing to have the discussion on, like, Autry and Hopkins.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's – I do think – I'd like to see what Brad Spielberger thinks Danico Autry would bring back.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, so I guess, like – maybe Kaharsky overstated it a little bit, but I, for the most part, I kind of agree with him. You're not getting some huge returns for most of these guys. I mean, Fulton for a fifth, okay. I mean, if you're punting on the season, then do that, I guess. But whatever you think of Fulton and how he's played this year, which hasn't been good, you're hamstringing yourself in the secondary.
Well, and that's what I think makes this all really interesting. From a couple of different standpoints, we talked about the Carthon-Vrabel dynamic, and I said it yesterday. Like, if I'm Carthon and I'm walking into a new situation that he's in right now, and you've got a 6-game sample size of what they've thrown out there on the field, my response to that is going to be, all right, let's start to trade some of these guys off and get as many assets back as we can. That would just be the way I would handle it if I was Carthon coming into a new situation. I understand Vrabel as the head coach wanting to hang in there in the battle as long as you possibly can and try to win as many games as you can. So I think it's different. Like, if the Titans had a bunch of guys that they could trade off that were worth, you know, first and second round picks, then I think maybe it's a little bit easier of a decision at that point. But they
don't.
How
many teams do? You know what I mean?
Not very many. Yeah, like, it just – and that's
teams
why
teams value those picks so much, because then you have multiple years of not paying much money
exactly
to the players.
And you know, that's what makes like the NFL trade deadline. It's why hardly anything ever happens right at the NFL trading deadline.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're Vrabel looking at this and you're sitting down with Carthon and you're formulating a plan for the deadline this week, and you think to yourself, well, what could you get back for Hopkins? Maybe a third round pick. What could you get back for Autry? Fourth round pick, third round pick, somewhere in that area. Byard, same thing. Like, is it worth doing that if that's what you're getting back? And I think different people would answer that question differently, but how would Vrabel answer it?
Yeah, well, I mean, let's – first of all, they're not all going to happen, but let's just say – let's say three trades were to happen, you know. Let's say, yeah, Autry, Hopkins, Byard. I mean, you're not that's going to severely hamper your team.
Yeah, you're done.
So I don't think Vrabel would be enthused about it. I mean – It is like there is so much put into winning, and they're 6 games in. And so, I mean, the Jags, like it or not, the Jags were 3-7 last year, and not a soul in Duval was talking about the playoffs. 3-7. Just, hopefully Trevor keeps getting better, and maybe next year we'll put something around him, and all of a sudden they win the division. 3-7. Toast. Done. Out. That's extreme, okay? But knowing that, there are plenty of examples of teams that are, you know, have bad records for a few games and turn it around, and teams that have good records and completely collapse. When you put so much into this, and I mean, Vrabel's press conference the other day told me, I'm not surprised, but I mean, told me he's absolutely dug in and resolved to try to figure out how to win. So now if you take away two, three of his best players, his best veterans, I can't imagine that that would be his choice.
We're 12 days away from the deadline. 12 days away from Halloween, which is the deadline. It'd be 3 o'clock our time on that day. Your percentage chance right now as we sit here today that a player of significance is traded at the deadline.
Ooh.
By the Titans.
Asking me to do math, but then again, I just asked Dan Hynoe to do math.
You did.
And something that didn't even really make sense to do math on.
He quickly pushed the math part of it aside. Too.
Yeah, yeah,
which was good.
But that was actually interesting. Like 20
it was.
Games,
it was really
about
good.
20 games. That makes yeah. sense. Yeah. Okay. Percentage chance that a player's going to get traded. I'm going to say about 12%, which I think is pretty high.
That's about where I'm at. Like 10 to 12%. I just don't think it's very likely for a couple reasons. Number one, it's the NFL. Like a lot of those things just don't happen. And number two. Like, the trade deadline, that's one thing about the NFL I'd probably like to change. I like the trade deadline get pushed back a little bit. Like, push it back to, like, week 12. So,
nice.
I mean, maybe there's a little bit more clarity. Like, I just think, like, even the Titans right now, and I know there are fans listening to this saying the season is over, and I get it. But, like if you're Vrabel, it's what you just said. You're 6 games in. Are you really – and now you've got your bye week, and you're playing one more game before the deadline. So, you'll be 7 games in. By the time the deadline comes around, even if they lose that one and they're 2-5, does Vrabel have the willingness to actually pull the trigger and do it? And I have my doubts that he does. Like, if I'm Carthon, I think it makes a lot of sense to do it. But does that become a point of discussion between those two? Does Carthon defer to Vrabel? Does Vrabel have the final say anyway? Like, what does that look like when it comes to the decision of the deadline?
Yeah, if there's a big philosophical difference on this, I can't imagine that the new guy comes in and says, "Yep, sorry." I mean, he said himself, and again, he came from a situation where the head coach called the shots.
Yep.
I mean, that's what it is in San Francisco. So I just don't see how the new guys, even if he believes like, yeah, it's the best move, I don't think. If there was a big conflict there, an argument, he's not going to win that.
I don't think so either. Andrew on the text line says, "I don't trust Vrabel on personnel matters, and I hope Amy doesn't either. Trade them, Ran." This is from Andrew on the text line.
Just do it, Ran. Just do it.
Just do it.
Just, you know, Vrabel can learn about it on Twitter, and it's too late. What are you going to do, you know? Ask for forgiveness, right? Well, the first time you ask for forgiveness.
That's right.
Don't ask for permission.
That's right. Rob on the text line says, "No one's going to want Henry. We just spent a whole offseason talking about how teams don't value the running back. Also, he is being outperformed by a rookie running back." I don't know that he's being outperformed by Tajay Spears.
Yeah, you know.
I wouldn't go that far.
Go ahead and look at what defenses do for both of those guys. He's good. You know,
yeah.
Spears, I mean, is good. And, yeah, I hear you on teams not very – I mean, it's – like with Henry, I don't think you're getting much. I do think there's a few teams out there who might be like, sure. But, again,
well, it's gonna be really nice.
You're taking on whatever you still have to pay him, which is, I don't know, 7 mil or whatever, 6.
Well, if it goes your way, it's going to be really nice to see Derrick Henry kind of leading the parade in Detroit.
Yes.
After they win.
There we go.
Yeah, he's the grand marshal of the Super Bowl parade.
Oh, that'd be something, right?
I mean, what a backfield. A healthy David Montgomery at some point, Jahmyr Gibbs, and Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry.
A three-headed monster.
Yeah. Jared Goff doesn't have to do anything anymore.
I did see somebody just brought up on the text line some rumors or, I guess, some speculation of, like, what a good fit he'd be with the Ravens. Talk about something that would be, and we talked about this earlier this week, hard to swallow for Titans fans.
For sure.
Oh, look, there's Derrick Henry out there running around with Baltimore. That's good.
Oh, yeah. But the Ravens and Eagles, those are the two teams that I'm like, man, that'd be fun, wouldn't it? Yeah, you're not getting much for him realistically. But I think when it comes down to it, we're probably just not going to – I think what we're probably going to see is the Titans – find a way to beat the Falcons and be 3-4. And it, even if there may have been a couple things that might have been close, then that I think that swings it the other way.
The last thing I'll say on it is I know everything we just talked about with Vrabel, I believe. And that's why I don't think it's very likely that the Titans actually do this. But I will say, like, I do think if you're Vrabel, even with all the competitive fire that you have and you're trying to win as many games as you can, Like, you also have to look around and say, all right, we have three picks before the seventh round of next year's draft. Like, that's got to factor into your thinking where you're at least considering that before the deadline, I would hope.
Yeah, I think it has to be a serious conversation because your roster is in a state where that's just a bad combination of your aging roster in a lot of spots, your lack of standouts, young rookie contract standouts. There are very few. And three picks that you can realistically expect to make an impact. I mean, you know, you hope in the seventh round you find somebody here and there, but yeah, it's seven round picks. The other three picks are the only picks that you really can feel good about having impact players, and that's just not enough for this roster at all.
Yeah, no question about it. Coming up next, it's time for the best and worst things in sports for this week. We'll take your best and worst things, as always, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
1025 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time!
This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles, yes! Unbelievable.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle, it's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It's that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe Rexroad, kick us off with your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Well, my best is I'm going to take the opportunity now because starting this Saturday, it could start going the other way, and who knows? You know, they got to do it away from that stadium, but Vols defense looks really good.
It does.
And James Pierce Jr. in particular is a guy who I think should be getting some All-America consideration at midseason right now. I know he'll have at least one nod in that regard in one publication, but he's a special player. They got a lot of guys playing at a high level. And it's always been the question with this offense, you know, can you have a great defense? The closest that's ever happened was, you know, Baylor had some pretty good ones back in the day, but we'll see. I don't know where it goes, and again, maybe all of a sudden on Saturday Jalen Milroe goes nuts, but right now that Tennessee defense looks really, really good, and they've built it in, you know, year three at a pretty impressive level.
Yeah, for sure.
Worst, I'm not going to do the Tennessee passing game.
I thought you were. I know how you like to work in concert together.
Freaking Creed, get out of here. They suck. And there's so many possibilities. Like, how about some Doobie Brothers? How about some, you know, some Soundgarden? I mean, I could name 1,000 bands that should be motivating you and exciting you as a sports team, but you choose Creed. And so what happens? You invite Creed to your stadium, and you're looking great.
There they are last night at Globe Life Field.
Oh, can you take me? Hey, look at this.
What the hell is wrong with people?
And then what happens? The Astros kick your butt. So I hope you learned your lesson. Get them out of here.
You think they're invited back for game four? Or are they being shown the door?
Well, I hope they are, and they lose again.
Guys, we love you. We'll see you later. Don't come back.
Here's a gift bag, you know, Rangers koozie. Thanks a lot for coming. Foam finger, get out of here. Get on your ship, whatever, your little tugboat, and play your stupid concert. Sorry.
I can't wait to get on that cruise ship with them.
Are you?
Watch it all go down. Nick Keyser, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
By golly, I don't have any Creed slander, so we're good. All right, my best thing, I think this is cool. The Dolphins, we already thought, were pretty dang good. They're getting Jalen Ramsey back here pretty soon, too.
He went
to practice yesterday, so that opens the window for him to kind of come back as well. And so good for them, I guess, but their secondary is going to look even better. I also want to go in just the sweet moment that I think we all saw was partner ball was with Matthias Ekholm,
yeah.
And that was just a great moment to see. You like to see when the former players come back in town. They can always have those nice moments, but especially because of how long Matias was here, that moment was definitely one that I'm sure most people were waiting on. So great moment there that was caught by the social teams. The worst for me was the fact that Max Scherzer last night, so going back into this game, they may have deserved it because they played Creed, but Max Scherzer has now given up 12 earned runs in his last two postseason games. So not looking too good for them. They were already holding a 2-0 series lead, so that sucks for the Rangers, but also, too, the Preds are also with that Luke Shen. So not a good start for him this season. Preds announced that he's going to be out for the next 4 to 6 weeks with a lower body injury. So a couple of injuries, best and worst, but also to Matias Ekholm back in town, which was great.
Yep.
What are you, Ryan Porth with like 19 called shots? Yeah, pick a best and pick a worst.
Do you just want me to do two? Come on. You can't tell me,
Joe. I mean,
Joe.
That's what we
It's the best
do.
And the worst.
Here are my 19 best things, and I have 11 worst.
No. I didn't know Porth did that many.
No, well, good. He did the called shots.
Yeah, Porth. Yeah. The called shot segment was over by the time Porth
right.
was done.
He would have to have his own segment for called shots.
Correct. Yeah. All right, my best thing in sports. Look, I know Preds fans may be mad at me at this, but that's fine. Leon Draisaitl against the Predators is unbelievable. It's the I've never seen anything else like it. I have never seen a player, and I don't think any sport, and I'd have to go back and really think about this, which I have not done. I don't know that I've ever seen a player in any sport dominate a team like he does against the Predators. Like, it's unbelievable. And we went through the stats yesterday. He's got 34 points in his last 12 games against the Preds, 24 goals, 24 games. It's unbelievable what he does. And I Jerry was talking about this on his show. I had Predators fans that are big, big Preds fans that were texting me while it was happening on Tuesday night, just saying, like, I'm not even mad. Like, it just is what it is. Like, it's like Predators fans have gotten used to it, and you're just watching greatness unfold before you. So Leon Draisaitl and what he does against the Predators, my best thing in sports.
I know. Apparently he's sick of being asked about it, but, like,
apparently so.
Is it like he loves hot chicken or something?
Maybe.
I mean, is there something happened? Did I mean, the next
time
kind of grudge against Nashville.
Next time we see Barry Trotz and you say, hey, do whatever it takes. Trade whoever to go get Draisaitl, because apparently this building, I mean, he'll set the all-time goals record.
Yeah, that's what I thought about Freddie Lynn, man. So just be careful.
Careful what you
yeah, actually, for. I think it'd be okay to get Draisaitl. Yeah, I think if you can get Draisaitl, I'd say.
I think you'd probably be all right.
Yeah.
My worst thing in sports, we talked about it a lot this week, and I still can't get over it. The Kyle Phillips play in the Titans game just drives me nuts. Just how dumb it was. From everybody involved, from Kyle Phillips not catching the football. And look, I think we've probably been so hard on the coaching part of it this week that we've not spent enough time looking at Kyle Phillips and say, why can you not catch a punt? Like, you apparently cannot catch a punt at the NFL level. So why can you not do that? But from the execution of muffing the punt to the decision to send him out there in the first place to then not only send him out there but tell him to get away from the football – just everything involved with it was so bad. Look, they ended up losing by more than three. So I guess, I mean, you can't point directly to that as to why they lost the game. It'd been nice to have them 3 points back, though, in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, might have made a little bit of a difference. I'm glad you brought that up. I'd like to have an honorable mention, since Nick does 17 different things. Honorable mention, Caroline Fenton, Jared versus Joe. She decided it on Aukerman.
Yeah.
So if you ask, the question is, what do you do with Craig Aukerman? You know what the answer is, right? Like, I'm not going to say fire him. I think firing a coach in season is stupid.
Right.
It's idiotic. If you raged against firing John Robinson last year, why? Oh, let's pay a guy a lot of money and then let's strain it even worse to have less coaching for special teams, which clearly needs coaching. So you know I'm going to answer that, and you know Jared's going to say fire him.
Yes.
So you predetermine the winner.
Well, kind of, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yep. So it's not Jared versus Joe. It's Jared, Joe, and Caroline yell at each other on a Wednesday. Let's change.
Is that
the
two in a row?
Let's change the branding. It's two in a row.
It's two in a row for Jared?
Which, again, is fine. Uh-oh. What I should have said is that should not be the win for me or him. Because whatever you decide on that means that's the winner. Predetermined winner.
It's true.
Ridiculous.
I haven't thought about it that way, but you're right.
I mean, I've said it before.
Yeah.
She's predetermined him winning before.
Well, that may be what you have to do to get him to win.
That's pretty much it. I'm glad we could get into this.
Me too. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, we will look ahead to Tennessee and Alabama. Wes Rucker from Go Vols 24/7 will join us here on the program. That's next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.